But Revelation 19, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 11. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So you're seeing the culmination of this prophetic program. And I told you last time how on the chart over there that I drew, I've had this thing drawn on this whiteboard so long. I hope if I ever need to take it off, I hope it'll come off of there. But you'll see, I guess these wheels are locked. You'll see here that the face of the deep is frozen. There's a great deep up there in the top of the universe, according to the Bible. And some scientists have found it. You can read some scientists, and they do believe, and they know that there's water up there. But others, you know, they're far behind. But one of these days they'll catch up with the Bible. But he's gonna open that. See, there's doors up there, and he has to open that thing up and come down through there. Because if not, with sin being in the second and first heaven, the glory of God would just burn us up. I mean, you can't abide. Sin can't abide in His presence. So He opens that thing up, and He's going to come down through the universe there, the atmosphere, and He's going to come down according to this text, and He's going to judge and make war. Now, here's some interesting things here. It says, "And behold, a white horse." Now, y'all remember reading in Revelation chapter 6 where it tells you that there was a white horse, there was a white horse rider, but it was the Antichrist. So it tells you over and over in the Bible how there's counterfeits all through there, and the devil tries to counterfeit. The Lord comes back on a white horse, and here's the devil coming on a white horse. And I'm telling you, I think the thing is going to be fulfilled. I believe that Bible is going to be fulfilled just like it says, because the devil's such a show-off. I believe, honestly, when he comes up on the scene, he'll come up on a white horse. I believe he's going to be, you know, you get some of these dictators and stuff, and they get on these horses, you know, and they ride to showing their strength and stuff. I believe he'll be on a white horse. And everything's going to be a counterfeit, just right down the letter of the Bible. That's why you always have to check everything with the Word, because he wants to counterfeit. And it says, "And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Now, I got to stop on this. These heavenly horses, if sometimes y'all go back and read 2 Kings 6, verses 15 to 17, and y'all remember those horses when Elijah showed his servant those horses were horses of fire. Now, that shows you that heavenly horses, heaven's animals even, and heaven's rules, they go by different things and different rules. Now, that's why over in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells you that there are bodies celestial, that's heavenly, and bodies terrestrial. And the Lord is going to give you a body. When He gives you a new body, it's going to be bound to those laws that has to do with the celestial kingdom. Because right now, people talk about going to space and all this type of stuff. They can do all that space stuff they want to, but it's not going to work. The Lord has got sin confined right here to this earth, and they're not going to be able to do it, because that's what the Bible teaches you. They have to have a body. Anybody that's going to get out there is going to have a body made of God that's able to abide those laws out there. That's just how that thing works. Now, it says Faithful and True. Now, I want to show you a few things in John. This has to do with His perfect humanity. You're seeing both sides of His deity here. He's 100% God, 100% man. Look at John chapter 8, and we'll look at His faithfulness in His humanity here. There's several things in John 8 I want you to see concerning these things. But in John 8, verse number 29, the Bible says, "And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." That's speaking of His faithfulness. He's a faithful, the Bible talks about how He's a faithful and true witness in texts like in early Revelation and things. The Lord Jesus Christ, everything He did was faithful to the Father. He always did the will of the Father. And so He's faithful. And not only that, but I want you to see something else about the Bible teaches you there that he's true. Now stay in John, but I'll read this verse to you, because I want to give you a couple other things about in John 8. But when it says He's true, you can write down a reference there to Titus chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you a verse out of Titus. It just takes me a minute in this new Bible. It says, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It said he's faithful and true. Well, the word of God's true. The Jesus is the word of God. We're going to see that in a little bit. He's true. He cannot lie. It's showing he's God. He look, over and over in the Bible, the things we're studying, is all about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is God. One thing that's missing in Bible teaching today is true teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear a whole bunch of moral principles to do, and you hear a whole bunch of stuff about you should do this, and you should do this other thing, and you better not be doing this. And look, there's some preaching in there, because the Bible says the Word of God is for rebuke and correction, instruction, and righteousness, but that's not what all the Bible is about. If people would know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him because you love him, the natural walk with the Lord and in your relationship with him, you will just naturally start to be more like him, and you'll stop doing those things out of your walk with the Lord, not because some man just stood up and told you a whole bunch of stuff not to do. The thing is, a lot of people, they hear preaching on separation, separation, separation. But the Apostle Paul said he was separated unto the gospel. That means you can't just be separated without being separated unto something.
That's right.
That's the trouble, is people are being taught to take away a whole bunch of things. But I'm going to tell you something. This turning over a new leaf type teaching is dangerous. Because if you don't replace it with something that's right in its place, like it's taught in Ephesians chapter 4, you're going to be a mess. A lot of these people, they go to these rehabs, so to speak, and they stop doing a lot of stuff, but they don't start doing something right in its place. And if you don't replace it, you'll be in a mess. It all goes back to people, what's the saying? I try to use this saying. People kill clean up the cobwebs without killing the spider. That's what's going on. Now, if you're in John, I want to show you something else about this faithful and true reference here. In John chapter 8, I want you to look there at verse number 14, John 8:14. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Okay, he's being faithful, but everything he says is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So Jesus is saying his record is true. He's being faithful to the record and to the letter of the Word of God. He fulfilled it to a T. But contrast that with John 8, verse 44. He says this, ye are of your father the devil. Nice little sweet little Jesus, baby Jesus. You know, people forget this Jesus right here. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, that's what the devil does not do. And those that follow the devil, they don't like the truth. It says, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. He started lying.
That's right.
That's what the devil literally did. He started lying. That's why, y'all, I'm going to tell you, the greatest life is a life of truth. The Bible speaks of those that love the Lord in truth and in sincerity. Look, if you're true with people and you don't lie to people, they like the real you. But the devil, he lies, and if you lie to people and lie and make out like you're somebody you're not, they end up liking somebody else instead of the real you. And then when the real you comes out, they really don't like it. That's why the best thing to do in life is just be true and say what's right and do what's right. And that way you know where you stand with people. If they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't.
That's right.
It's an honest life. That's like with the Lord. Just be truthful with the Lord. One thing I love about the Lord is he does not require of me what I don't have the ability to do.
Amen.
Man, I love that about the Lord. He knows right where you're at in your Bible reading. He knows right where you're at in your prayer. And you don't have to be false with him. You don't have to be fake with him. You just each day you get up and say, hey, this is where I am with you, Lord. And he's going to love you. And you can grow a little bit each day. And you don't have to worry about being something you're not with the Lord. I love it. He loves you for just like where you are in your walk with him. You're already accepted in the beloved.
That's right.
Now just grow each and every day and walk a little bit, knowing that you're already accepted. And man, that helps you walk. All right, so there's a contrast with him being faithful and true. than with the program that he's ending right here is a lie program. The devil has a lie program. It's even going on right now. This present evil world is ran by lies. I tell you something, the older you get, one thing that makes you mad is all the lies down through the ages. Stuff that you've learned, you're thinking, man, why didn't I check into this? That was a lie. You know what you see in the propaganda system today is a bunch of lies, and I'll go over it over and over again, maybe in the sermon, is how people do things to make money off of the working people. That's what they do. They lie to you. But what I like is you can always come to the Bible and find pure truth. And the more we go by the Word of God, the more you live according to the truth, and the more peace you have in your walk. Well, you know what's true. Now, here's something he says, in righteousness he doth judge and make war, if you will. Let's start this little journey here for just a minute. Look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verse number 4. Isaiah 11, verse number 4. I think this is amazing right here. In Isaiah 11, verse 4, you're going to see, according to this verse and verses like it, his judgments are, according to that verse, in righteousness, because he will save the meek and destroy the wicked. You're going to see this. In Isaiah 11, verse 4, it says, but with righteousness with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth. That's coming up in Revelation 19. It's going to be talking about that very thing. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Here in a little bit, you're going to read in Revelation 19 where he says he has a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth. Okay, that means he's not coming through there. He don't have to come through there and swing and do anything. All he has to do is speak things. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ can just say, die, and people can die? He can speak. The power of life and death are in his tongue. And he can literally come through there and say, you fall down. You do it, and he can come through there and speak everything he wants to, because everything he says is right. And that's an amazing thing. He created everything with the word of his lips. He created.
That's right.
You'll see other references. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God said.
That's right.
He just spoke it. So you got that. Now let me show you something too. You got that reference there where it says he's going to destroy the wicked. If you will, take your Bible and look at Genesis 18. Because he said, in righteousness he doth judge. So you're going to see in Genesis 18, he's going to always do what's right. Genesis 18 and verse number 25. The Lord's about, he's talking to Abraham about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says in verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is saying, are you going to slay the righteous with the wicked? You know what you're going to find out there? You're going to find out that he gets there and there's none righteous. There's only Lot and just a few more that would even flee the city after they've been warned. That's how bad that sin was. They would hold on to that sin and they wouldn't believe anybody that told them. You know what's going on with the world today? You can stand up and preach all you want to and say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Judgment's coming. You can tell them, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is offering grace and peace right now in this present dispensation. You can get saved by grace through faith. And that name you said, it's simple, it's easy, and he'll save you. He'll do all the saving. But if you don't get saved right now, you're going to go through a time that you never even heard of, dreamed of. Oh, now that Bible, don't you know, it's just fairy tales. Well, that's the same thing they said to Noah in his day.
That's right.
That's the same thing they said to the prophets in their days. Oh, the Lord's not said. Ezekiel or Elijah, he's prophesying, doom and gloom. And Jeremiah, he's prophesying doom and gloom. And here's Ezekiel, he's saying, the fire. They even got to the place where they said the fire is not real fire. And the Lord told Ezekiel, yeah, it's going to burn their faces. That's what it's going to do. He said, be not afraid of their faces, because the fire is going to burn them. And they didn't believe it. He said, oh, doth he not speak in parables? That's the same thing they're saying today. So you know what you have through all ages. They don't believe, but he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's going to judge in righteousness. And that right thing has to do with destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. So when you see that right thing, as we go back to Revelation, that connection there to him destroying, I want to read a verse to you out of Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. Here's a good verse on that. Man, I can't hardly turn the pages on this thing. All right, it says in Jude verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He's going to come back and his eyes are going to be as flame of fire because the world gets so wicked that it just, the whole world becomes just like Sodom and Gomorrah, and over there in Jerusalem, it's going to be the capital of that thing. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. Right now, Tel Aviv is one of the most wicked places there is.
That's right.
And that's one thing you'll see about sin. Now, sin, we say, well, sin is sin. All sin is sin. I will say that. But sin carries different consequences. There are some sins that carry different, that's just like, for instance, a lie, you can tell a lie. A lie is a sin. But you're probably not going to go to jail for a lie, even though lies have killed lots of people. But you go out here and you kill somebody, that's a sin, but you go to jail for sin.
Right.
There are categories there that some sins do more damage in certain respects than other sins, and the Lord sees that as such. And whenever he comes back, he's saying that, in, as we've studied over and over, the religion that's going on is a Baalite religion, and death is a great part of that religion, and it has to do with these things mentioned, and Sodom and Gomorrah is a very much key player in that end time religion. And you're seeing things just, it just builds up and up and up, and one of these days the body of Christ will be out of here. And I tell you something, that conviction that's here because people are at work and stuff like that, and you'd be surprised how many people respect you and they don't say things around you, and they know that you believe a certain way and they don't do things. You wait till that restraining power is gone, and man, I'll tell you something, this world will take on an evil that you wouldn't believe how evil it'd get. So he's going to judge a wicked religious system that's got the Antichrist at its head, and it's going to be right for him to do it. And it says he's going to judge and make war. They've never seen a war like what's coming. I talk about all these wars right now. You wait till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and makes war. That's going to be a war. And it says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now his eyes were as a flame of fire. I want you to see something here. Let me, I made an appendix in my Bible on this thing, and I want to read this to you here. I want you to see in, all right, well, let me start off. If y'all will turn with me to the little book of Habakkuk, and then I'll bring you back over to Hebrews. But I want you to see, first of all, that the Lord has purified through the tribulation. According to the book of Malachi, he purified his people. While you're turning Habakkuk, it'd take me 5 minutes to find it myself. I'm going to read a verse to you, and I'm going to go to Malachi, and we're going to look at his eyes for a minute, because I've never really had anybody show me any of these things, so I want to show y'all a couple of things about it, about his eyes there. Malachi 3. Let me read Malachi 3 right quick, and I'll come to Habakkuk with you. The Bible says, but who may abide the day of his coming? So we're reading about his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The Lord purifies his people through the tribulation. But the issue is, he comes back and there's so many unbelievers and so much wicked there. There's a text here that helps explain this, and in the book of Habakkuk that I had you turn to. And I keep turning past Habakkuk. Y'all ever do that? I guess y'all may, let's see. I keep turning past it in this new Bible. Is somebody there at Habakkuk that can read Habakkuk 1:13?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Will you read that, Brother Brett?
Yes, sir. Habakkuk 1:13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour a man that is more righteous than he?
Okay, so he's coming to judge in righteousness. All right, now you just saw there that his eyes are pure, they're too pure to look on iniquity. When you come back and that iniquity has to do with a world that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they've rejected the gospel of the kingdom, the fact that he's coming back and he's going to rule and reign. They've rejected his whole message, and they're choosing a lie program, and his eyes can't look on evil. So anybody who's not been purified in that fire through faith and what he said to do in that time, guess what he's going to do? His eyes are as a flame of fire. You know what it tells you? I'm going to read this mate verse to you in Hebrews 12. Talking about what he's going to do, because his eyes are as a flame of fire. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come up there and burn up everybody who's not righteous in his eyes. Man, I'm slow in this thing. I do apologize, but I'm going to get faster in it. Hebrews 12:29. The Bible says, "For our God is a consuming fire." I should have been able to quote that to you. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ come back, and his eyes are as a flame of fire, and he's going to come through there. And the Bible even talks about his word being like a fire. Jeremiah even said, "Is not that word like a fire?" So all this is pointing to the fiery wrath of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes through there, and he's able to speak and burn people up. The Bible talks about, what's that fire where it says over there that they shall even, their eyes shall consume even in their sockets, and all these people talk about that's nuclear blast and all that stuff. You know what that is? That's the Word of God.
That's right.
God, the Lord Jesus Christ come down to a Christ-rejecting world that's rejected the gospel, the grace of God. Now he gave them chance after chance after chance. And the Bible even said, we read about it in Revelation, where he kept sending them plagues because he could have destroyed them all at once, but a little bit at a time, he's giving them chance after chance. And the Bible said they repented not of their deeds. And he comes back. You know what he does? He just speaks and he burns them up. And man, they just consume right there. And he comes up through there, and some of them he burns up. And the Bible talks about some of the bodies. He piles them bodies up, and he lets the birds come and feast on them and stuff. It's going to be the most awful thing. No movie you've ever seen could touch it.
Right.
Preachers can't preach on it enough. Why? You know what? A lot of times preachers, they focus. And I'm saying that because I am. I'm not making fun of. But for years you've heard, and hell's going to be bad and all that type of stuff. But y'all, this is what's bad. Before the people even go to hell to burn forever, they suffer this first. So not only do they have it bad, it's one thing to have it bad here, but it's bad to have it bad here, then have it bad after that. The thing is, the Christian, somebody saved right now, look, if you got things bad happen to you in this life, this is as bad as it'll ever get.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, here about a month ago when we had 100 degree temperatures and stuff, you know what I was telling some of the guys at work? I said, look, man, it's hot today. This is as hot as we'll ever know it.
That's right.
I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, we work in this heat, but it's as bad as it's going to get. But I'm going to tell you something. As bad as that is, all it's going to do is just get worse for them. You know what that ought to do? Motivate us more and more to want to preach the gospel. When I read stuff like this, it just makes me want to preach more. I don't want my worst enemy to have to experience what's coming. And it has to do with the Word of God. It's all pointing to the Word of God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. The beginning was, in the beginning, God. And he said it started off with the Word of God. You know what it's going to do? It's going to culminate with the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. My Word shall not pass away. The Lord is telling you he's the Word of God, because it's going to tell you here in a little bit that he's got a name called the Word of God. Watch what it says. And it says in Revelation 19... they have many crowns. Now, he got many crowns. I won't go in that as much yet, because I can go into Zechariah 14:9, chapter 11:15 of Revelation. But he's the king of all the kings. And it said he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now hold on just a minute. It said he had a name written that no man knew, but then it's going to tell you here in just a second in verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now that's amazing right there. His name's called the Word of God. Said the name, what's that? He's known as the Word of God. Why? I've got to give you some of these. I'm going to run out of time. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name."
Amen.
The Word of God is magnified above all thy name, and the Lord Jesus Christ has got a name that every knee will bow to that name. Why? Because he literally called the Word of God, and all things are and were created by him. The Word of God is how everything was created. He's coming as the God of creation. He's coming back to his creation as the Word of God in the flesh. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Right. Amen.
He was life. The Word of God is life. Everything's pointing. It's you're seeing the culmination of all things. Starting off with the Word of God, ending with the Word of God. You know what it's saying? It started off with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ending with Jesus. He's the beginning. He says that. He says, "I'm the beginning and I'm the ending." He says, "I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega." He's showing you he's the beginning and ending of everything, and anything that's worth anything is the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not in it, it's not worth your time, really. That's why, as far as this world goes, you say, what if this is important? What if that's important? There are things that you have to do in life. But you know what? If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ getting a preeminence, it's not going to be anything that's going to last. The only thing that's going to last is things that's in the beginning and the end, the first and the last, because he's going to culminate all things, and every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because his name is called the Word of God, and it's magnified above everything. Because if he's not faithful and true, what good is it? If somebody's faithful without truth, it's no good. Well, I could be faithful to come to church, but if I'm not saved, what good is it?
Right.
I could be faithful to read my Bible, but if I'm not saved, what good is it? I can be faithful to go into work every day. I can be faithful to my family, but if it's not connected to the truth, what good is it? That's like people can be faithful to all kinds of things, but if it's not connected to the truth, it's no good. The Lord Jesus Christ said they should worship him in spirit and in truth. If you don't have the truth to button everything up, it don't matter if you've got a spirit or anything else connected to it. The truth is what culminates everything. So hit the Word of God. The Bible said the Word of God is true in the Psalms from the beginning. You know what? The Word of God is everything. And his name is called. That's how high his name is. He's able to be called the Word of God. That's an amazing thing. Now, you see also too, it says, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Let me see how much time I have. I want to look at this thing about this vesture. Now, I couldn't find anything on this. I've got several commentaries that I'll kind of look at. So I want to show you what I found with my cross-reference system. I always do my cross-referencing first. And I don't mind seeing what another man said about it, but I'll check his references. So I'm going to show you what I found about the word dipped. The first mention is in Genesis 37. Genesis 37, verse 31. I know y'all probably know now, as soon as I said Genesis 37, where I'm going with this, but I think it's super interesting. The first mention of the word dipped has to do with Joseph, one of the greatest types of Christ in the Bible. I think one guy counted, he said it was like 149 particulars. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch what the first mention of the word dipped is. It says, "And they took Joseph's coat." Watch this. Yeah, there you go. It says, "And killed a kid of the goats." So, "and dipped the coat in blood." In the blood. Now, I got to stop right there. The first mention has to do with Joseph picture in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that is? His brethren have rejected him.
Yeah.
And they dipped a cloak in blood. But it don't stop there. Y'all remember later on?
That's right.
That later on, his brethren receive him later on. At the end of the thing, he said, look, all these things were done for a reason. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You remember that? Yeah. So that coat is connected with a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, dipped in blood, where they rejected him first. They didn't want him, and then they accepted him later on. That's amazing to me. His vesture is dipped in blood, picturing all the way back from the beginning of the Bible. See, he's culminated. That was in Genesis, the beginning, the start of the book. And then in Revelation, you see now a coat dipped in blood, his vesture dipped. And now, believing Israel has received him. Y'all remember in Exodus? Over there he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The one who have saw the blood, he passes over them. But guess what? The ones who didn't have the blood applied, that same blood that could have been received, they could have been protected by, that same blood is going to be the blood, the very blood that causes them to get destroyed. You know what? Anybody, when he comes back in that vesture dipped in blood, anybody who comes back to has had a chance and an opportunity to receive him.
That's right.
But they've rejected him. Can you imagine getting up there and right before they get destroyed, looking up there at that vesture and seeing and said, man, I could have had the blood. It's too late. Man, I tell you something, there's some scary things. Look, I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot more scary. It's easy to die. But some of these people, the way they're going to die is awful. Let me show you the second reference I found, the word dipped. Look at Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. I've heard preachers say, and aptly and rightly so, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Leviticus. That one preacher, he said that Bible sure do shed a whole lot of light on them commentary. And I always got a kick out of that. There's a guy down in Georgia, and I still listen to him a lot. And you can tell he likes some good home cooking. And he uses a lot of illustrations, like with cooking and stuff like that in the sermons. I always get a big kick out of that, how one man can look down in this Bible and see things. That's why the Bible appeals to different people's minds. And so many references to food, I never thought. Until you listen to certain guys, and man, you're talking about some good biblical preaching. But he sees references to food all through the Bible. I'm thinking, how's that guy seeing all that stuff? But it's all kind of references to food in there. But it's, the whole Bible is a blessing. Leviticus 9 verse 9, it says, and the sons of Aaron, look, we're looking at the priests. The Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet, a priest, and a king. He's coming back to Israel, not only as that high priest, he's coming back as fulfilling all the prophets. He's coming back as that King of Kings. Watch what it says. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, but watch, and put it upon the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. Now what's going on here? This has to do with the commandments, dipping the blood there. Dipping blood has to do with the atonement. As you read this chapter, like for instance, I'll give you a quick reference in verse 7, Leviticus 9, verse 7. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for thyself and for the people and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. He's coming back, and just like when you see that reference to the word dipped, in this reference has to do with an atonement. And that vesture dipped in blood. You know what? Israel, when he comes back, they've received that atonement. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for him to come back at that second coming for them and receive their atonement as a nation. And that vesture's dipped in blood. And the only way they can get that is for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and destroy all their enemies. That's what they were looking for at the first coming. They said, hey, we're looking to be saved and delivered from all of our enemies. And the Lord's able to come back and do that with that vesture dipped in blood, showing who he is. Man, that's amazing. And I think I had one more I found. Look at this last one that I dipped. Look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Y'all, as I study this Bible, I can't help but to marvel. Sunday after Sunday, we get up here and there's endless preaching and endless teaching in the Bible going back and forth through cross references right here. And it's not written like any other book. Most books you come through and you just read it like this right here. And when you get to the end, you say, okay, here's the end. But the Bible's pieced together like that. You know why that's built like that? So you'll study and have a relationship with the Lord. And we get a chance together as a body of believers to come here. Look what I found here. And look what I found here. And that way we grow together. You can show this to other people and marvel at the Word of God. Look, no man could have put such a book together. That's what gives me joy in preaching, man. This is not a burden. I mean, this is a blessing to be able to get up here and show you. Look at Psalm 68. Verse number 23, this has to do with him coming back. It says in verse 23, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs the same. You know what that thing, when you read this right here, and you ought to go through and read this whole psalm here, the Lord's coming back. And when you put that thing together, That Bible tells you that the blood is going to come up to the horses' bridles.
That's right.
All right. This heavenly army is going to come down through there, and the blood is going to be so deep as they come up through there from him destroying all those people that their feet are going to be dipped in the blood. They're going to be riding up through there, and it's going to literally touch their feet. Man, I'm telling you something. That's a picture, man. And you had never seen anything as gruesome as something like that. You know what that is? The Bible says his eyes are as a flame of fire. Have you ever seen somebody get real good and mad and their eyes get fixed? It's you know, people say, well, he had fire in his eyes. So that's the only way you can describe this is because they're just that mad. That's just a man. Men can get mad. Man, I'm talking about getting mad. But that's not on the scale of God. See, this is what this world don't understand. Right now, God is offering grace and peace. And people say, how come God hadn't done anything about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? This, in this dispensation, he's offering grace. He's offering peace. He's saying, look, all these things are going on, and God's going to take care of it one of these days. And he's offering a complete dispensation of grace to anybody who gets saved. But I'm going to tell you something. When God's done, he's done.
That's right. He did.
And one of these things, one of these days, this wrathful, vengeful God that people have forgotten about. Uh-huh. And they're thinking, well, he hadn't done anything for all these ages. When he does do something, it's going to be more awful than any. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to be saying things like rocks fall on us. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it's going to be. Look, they got all these tunnels built and all this stuff. Look, I'm going to tell you something. If you talk to anybody in the military that's deep in the military, they'll tell you, they're just like Hamas and all these people, they got these tunnels and all underground. Everybody's got this tunnel. Let me tell you something. There's going to be people that's got all these underground bunkers and stuff, and it's going to be so bad they're going to say, hey, it'd just be best for the rocks just to fall on us. That's what they're going to be praying for. It's going to be that bad. They're not going to trust in their food rations. They're not going to trust in any of these things that they got stored up, because they're going to be saying it's so bad. He said one place over in Amos, you can run from a lion, and he said a bear would catch you. And if you got away from the bear, he said a serpent would bite you. You don't understand, according to that Bible, the animals and all the creation goes against humanity. Revelation 6:8 says even the beasts go bad. People don't understand. They get down in these bunkers right, and they say, hey, we're safe, and spiders come down there and get you. And I'll tell you something, if y'all have anything like me, I hate spiders. I'm going to tell you something, I'll kill a spider. People talk about good spider, bad spider. Look, it's only two. I'll kill live ones and dead ones. I hate them all. But you know what? People, see, they forgot those verses. They forget. They say, well, we got all this military might. Do you realize God destroys militaries with hornets in the Bible?
Yes, that's right.
Do you realize God has got hailstones up there, 180-pound hailstones that he could rain down and destroy every single thing that there? Do they not realize God destroyed the nation of Israel with those plagues? Destroyed the whole nation. You imagine these people say, we got these tanks and we got all this type of stuff, and God could send frogs. So many frogs up there where nobody could even concentrate because the frogs filled the houses. And people say, what about, you know what? God The wisdom of God is foolishness to man. God can destroy him with foolish things. You know what he's saying? He's saying he's God. He said he don't have to have any weapon. He can destroy him with flies. Can you imagine trying to shoot your gun, trying to swat flies and stuff? See, people don't understand you're dealing with God. He's the God of all creation. He don't have to have the same weapon. That's why you don't have to be concerned. Well, what's God going to do about all this stuff? God can do anything he wants to. The world is his. He says over in Psalm 50, I think it's around verse 12, he said, if I was hungry, I would not tell thee. He's over here and he gets up in the wilderness and he's being tempted of the devil. And you know what that Bible tells you? The devil's tempting him and stuff like he's just quoting the Word of God. Well, he can just feed off the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know what would do people some good is feed off the Word of God, feed their soul, and make sure your soul gets fed, because there's a lot of people. You got people nowadays got access to food all over the place, but they still don't have satisfaction. The soul satisfaction comes first, and then you'll be able to enjoy your meal. Anything. I hope that was a help to you. I know we got to stop there. We'll close that. Come on in. Y'all come on in. Brother Mike, if you would close.